Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as it was approaching 9 a.m. Friday morning, the crossbar for Jesus' cross was placed on his shoulders, and he was led toward Golgotha for his crucifixion. Now, to consider Jesus' condition at this point, let's pause for a moment and consider what he had been through the past several hours. After being arrested the night before, Jesus had stood on trial before the Jewish leaders through the night and into the early morning, after which he had had his Roman trial before Pontius Pilate. Over the course of that long night, in which he would have been without sleep and without food or drink, he had first been struck with fists by some members of the Sanhedrin, who had then handed him over to guards who beat him. Then in the morning, he had been flogged by Roman soldiers, who also put a crown of thorns on him, which would have painfully pierced his head, and then struck him on the head again and again with a staff. The scourging alone was severe enough to bring a man close to death. And so by the time they began the walk to Golgotha, Jesus already had been severely beaten and would have already experienced significant blood loss from the scourging. And that's not even to mention the spiritual anguish that he was enduring, which would ultimately be the most difficult part of all of this for him. In light of all that he had already gone through by this point, it's not surprising then that when they placed the crossbar, which it's estimated weighed probably about 30 to 40 pounds, when they placed that on Jesus' shoulders, he was simply in no condition to carry it. We know from John's gospel that Jesus did initially carry it on his own, but at some point along the way, his body gave out. So the Roman soldiers ordered another man to carry the cross for him. As they were going out from Jerusalem to Golgotha, a man named Simon was coming into the city. Simon was from Cyrene, which is in Libya on the northern coast of Africa. We don't know whether he was visiting Jerusalem for the Passover that week or if he had moved to Jerusalem. What we do know is that he now had no choice but to join Jesus on the way to Golgotha. There's no indication that Simon had any connection at all with Jesus before this. But now he would be Jesus' companion, walking with Jesus, bearing the weight of his cross, as they made their way the roughly 600 yards or so to the place of crucifixion. We can only imagine what he might have thought as they made their way there. What did Simon think as he saw the remarkable lack of anger, complete lack of hatred in this man who had been unjustly condemned to death? And then at Golgotha, what did Simon think as he saw the soldiers nailing Jesus to that cross, and then heard Jesus lifted up on the cross, praying for their forgiveness, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Did Simon stay to see the final hours of this man with whom he now shared a unique bond? Did he hear Jesus using his time on the cross to care for others, comforting a criminal on a cross next to him, making arrangements for the care of his mother? What did Simon think as the sky mysteriously turned dark at midday that Friday? Did he hear Jesus in his final words express his trust in God the Father, saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit"? And did he then feel the earth shake and see the rock split, and hear the centurion under the cross say, "Surely this man was the Son of God." We're not told exactly what Simon of Cyrene experienced that day, other than carrying Jesus' cross for him. But we do see some indications in Scripture that at least suggest that Simon was not unaffected by that experience. And to see that, let's go back and look a little bit more closely at exactly how Mark describes Simon. When Mark wrote that Jesus' cross was carried that day by Simon, he identified him as Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, since he doesn't say anything more about those sons, Alexander and Rufus, why does he mention them at all? Well, one good reason for Mark to mention them would be if he knew that the people reading his gospel would be familiar with them. And this is where we come across an intriguing connection in Scripture. Mark's gospel seems to have been originally written for the Christians in Rome, which is where Mark had ministered with Peter. And so the question is, was there an Alexander or a Rufus whom the Christians in Rome, reading Mark's gospel, might have known? And indeed, there was. When St. Paul wrote his inspired letter to the Romans, near the end of the letter, he sent his greetings to some members of the church there. And one of the believers he specifically mentioned was a man named Rufus. Paul wrote, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and also his mother, who has been like a mother to me as well." And from the earliest days of the Christian church, it's been said that this Rufus, whom Paul sent his greetings to, was indeed the same Rufus whom we heard Mark refer to, that this was Rufus, the son of Simon of Cyrene. And if that is the case, that would be pretty strong evidence that Simon of Cyrene did indeed come to faith in the man whose cross he carried that day, that Simon did indeed come to faith in Christ. And also that he then passed that faith down in his family, which would be why St. Paul later sent his greetings to Simon's son in the church at Rome. In which case, Simon's experience then stands as an illustration and a reminder for us of the impact that an encounter with Jesus Christ can have on a person. How looking to Jesus Christ and his cross, hearing Jesus' words of forgiveness and grace, can completely change a person's life. There's also more that we can learn from Simon and what he experienced that day. When we look back to the events of that Friday morning, we see the role that Simon had in Jesus' final hours. We can see that in some ways, his was truly a one-of-a-kind experience. While Jesus bore the cross for all of us, there is a unique sense in which Simon, for at least a little while, physically bore the cross for Jesus. So Simon alone had that unique experience. But while we don't experience exactly what Simon did, we and all Christians do, in fact, has something significant in common with Simon. Like Simon, all Christians are given crosses to bear for Christ. Simon physically bore a cross, but all Christians are called to cross-bearing of another kind. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And again, Jesus said, "Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." These crosses that we bear are not made of wood. They are the burdens and the suffering that we bear, specifically as followers of Jesus Christ. It could be a cross of persecution or ridicule from those who oppose Christ and his ways. It could be a cross of living by Christian principles, even when that does sometimes make life more difficult. These crosses come in all shapes and sizes, but they do come in one way or another, at one time or another, to every Christian. It's part of what comes with following Christ and walking in his ways in a world that opposes Christ and opposes his ways. So, much like Simon of Cyrene, we are given crosses to bear. And again, like Simon, we find that these crosses sometimes come suddenly and unexpectedly. Whatever Simon had planned for that day, we can be certain that carrying a cross was not part of his plans. And in a similar way, we too can find that our crosses sometimes seem to come out of the blue. For people in some times and places, these crosses come in the form of physical persecution. But in our present culture, it's much more likely to come in the form of social pressure or what could be called social persecution. You're at work or at school, or in a conversation with a friend or a relative, and suddenly you find that you are expected to go along with a position or belief that might be considered politically correct, but which you know is not biblically correct. So suddenly you feel that the pressure is on. No one wants to be looked down on by their peers or by the people they care about. The question then becomes, are you willing to endure that? Are you willing to bear that cross for Christ? And suddenly the cost of discipleship, the cost that comes with following Christ, becomes much more real, much less theoretical. Now, as Christians, we do not seek crosses to bear. We don't seek to become martyrs. But much like Simon of Cyrene that Friday, we may very well find a cross being placed upon us at any time. When that happens, it can be difficult to bear. That's the nature of a cross, after all. And that is especially true. It's especially difficult when you feel like you are bearing that cross alone. It can leave you feeling very much like Elijah felt in tonight's Old Testament reading. After years of faithfully serving the Lord, at a time when Israel's leaders and most of Israel's people had abandoned the Lord, and with now his own life in danger because of his faithfulness, Elijah had fled. He felt that the burden that he bore as he suffered for righteousness' sake, he felt that that burden was more than he could bear any longer, and he felt ready to give up. But the Lord will not let the burdens that we bear for him be more than we can bear. And so the Lord came to Elijah, and he strengthened him to continue fighting the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith. And the Lord did that for Elijah in two ways. First, through his word. As the Lord came to Elijah in a still small voice to deal gently with this weary soul, to comfort him and encourage him. And second, by providing Elijah with the help and support of another believer, as the Lord gave Elijah a co-worker Elisha, who would from now on help to bear that burden with him, so he would not carry the burden alone. In much the same way, the Lord also strengthens us to bear whatever crosses we might be given in those same two ways, by encouraging us with his word and his promises, and by providing us with fellow believers, brothers and sisters in the faith, for them to help us and for us to help them, to bear one another's burdens. And turning again to Simon of Cyrene and his experience, we see there another important insight into how the Lord strengthens us to bear these burdens. As Simon carried the cross that Friday, he was not walking alone. Jesus was right there with him every step of the way. And the same is true for us. Like Simon, as we take up and bear our crosses, whatever they might be, Jesus is there with us. He never abandons or forsakes us. He is with us every step of the way. Simon and Jesus walked together to Golgotha. And whatever steep or lonely path you might find yourself on, you can know that you will not be walking it alone, because Jesus will be with you every step of the way. He knows and understands exactly what you're going through. After all, who knows more about bearing a cross than Jesus? And he can be trusted to abide with you and bring you through. Cast your cares on him, and you will see that he will sustain you. And not only will he sustain you, in the end, he will give you victory. And that, after all, is why he walked that path to Golgotha. As they walked that day, for a period of time, Simon was physically bearing the cross for Jesus. But they were making their way to Golgotha so that Christ could bear the cross for all of us. Simon helped bear the physical burden of carrying the crossbar for a time. But Christ alone bore the burden of the judgment for all of our sins. And he bore that for us to win the victory for us over everything that assaults us, to free us from everything that weighs us down. As he went to the cross for us and bore our sins and the judgment for our sins, to win the victory for us over sin, over death, and over the devil. So he did that to ensure our victory, which he freely gives us. And along the way, he also now ultimately works to bring good for us, even out of the cross-bearing that we go through for him on that path. As we heard in our epistle reading this evening, though the unbelieving world might stand against the people of Christ, even to the point of considering them like sheep to be slaughtered, we have the Lord's assurance that because what Christ has done for us, because of the cross that Christ bore for us, now we can know that nothing in all creation, not persecution, not even death, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through him, we are more than conquerors in all these things. For by the cross that he bore for us, Christ has won the victory for us, so that any crosses we now bear as his people, we are bearing on the path that leads to life everlasting. For all of this, may all glory, honor, and praise be to him who suffered for us so that our suffering will come to an end, who died in darkness for us so that we can live forever in his light, who by his cross ensured that our cross-bearing will come to an end and will be followed by peace, light, and life that will never end. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.